7 minutes after 11 Central African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, it is part two, the bliss of marriage. Yesterday, part one, unfortunately, our beloved Honorable Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah, who is in with us this morning, could not make it. Of course, Mufti Sahib, inshallah, will tell you people why. Let's just, inshallah, welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and all the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132 to the international overseas countries, +27847863132. I welcome my engineer, of course, Haji Yusuf Ali. Let's go to our honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan. And yes, yesterday I was not available. A close relative of mine, brother Haji Ahmed Suleiman of Pochestum, passed away. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant him Jannatul Firdaus and all the marhumin, and all of us should make dua. Tomorrow will be our turn. Tawaffani Muslima wa alhiqni bi salihin. O Almighty Allah, let me pass away with Iman and Islam, and unite me with those pious servants of yours, Ya Allah. Surah 12, verse 101. So that is the dua every Muslim should be reciting daily, because our greatest and unique feature is our Iman and Islam.
Ustaz, Jazakumullahu khairan. Yes, our beloved Ustaz did make dua as well for the marhum Hazrat Maulana Salim Kareem, inshallah, Ustaz.
We need to thank Maulana Salim Kareem as well, that Maulana stood in for me. Maulana, Allah Ta'ala reward you, reward your family. Barakallahu feekum.
Ustaz, let's begin, inshallah, part two, of course, the bliss of marriage. What should a person do if she is not able to marry, to get married, Ustaz?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a three-part question. One is the boys that remember the 20, 25, 30, 40, and they're not married. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-A'azabu shaitan. The hadith is mentioned in Mustafa Ahmad. You are able, capable to get married. You have the means. There are no problems. But you say, no, I don't want the responsibilities. And you get involved in so many vices and zina and fornication. So remember, these type of people here are guilty of a major, major sin. Second one are our daughters and our sisters. Now they are 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years old, and they want to get married, but either the father or parents are not giving blessings, or there are no real good proposals coming. So daily read 2 rakat salat and read Surah 25, verse 74. And most importantly, never become negative with Allah. Husnu dhanni billah, to remain positive in all cases and circumstances for a Muslim is compulsory. So irrespective of what happens, we believe wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. Good, bad, happy, sad, all is from Almighty Allah. And to you, my dear daughters and sisters, really, and I passed the fatwa also, even this morning, alhamdulillah, I cleared everything, all my WhatsApp, all my emails, everything this morning was cleared up now. So I'm back on page one. So after all the backlog, so remember, this is the fatwa I passed, that if your father has not given permission, you can't get married. So all of you make sure, you my daughters, that you are getting married and your parents are happy with you. You have their blessings. Then you will go far in life. So that is the second category. Third category, boy or girl, male or female, they have a genuine problem. that male there, for example, he is just too poor or he's got health problems and so forth, and he won't be able to fulfill the rights of his wife. Or this lady knows that she has so many illnesses, chronic illnesses. If she is going to get married, then she'll bring about so many problems for the husband. So in those cases, there'll be ma'azur and there'll be no sin upon them. So in Islam, we will say every effort must be made for male and female to get married and never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. But in certain cases, if they don't get married because there's a valid excuse, illness, poverty and so forth, war, so all that would be valid reasons.
Ustada, sister Ummi Alia is asking that, I think in the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states something about light beating. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should give his wife's loud beating. So she wants to know the verse, and she says that according to her husband, his sheikh told that no, the husband should beat their wives. So Ustad, could you just clarify this, inshallah? This is anonymous from Boxburg. Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned in the noble constitution for humanity and posterity, and people should not be making their own translations to suit their own tradition, custom and culture. Almighty Allah speaks of what you are referring to in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 34. So Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 34. So now there's husband-wife relationship. I'm reading the verse and translating. وَاللَّاتِ تَخَوَفُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. So when your wives are disobedient, disrespectful to you, first step فَإِذُوهُنَّ. Speak to her in a loving, beautiful manner. That is where you will be melting her heart, and her heart should be melting. And وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. And the second one will be that if still she is not listening, then remember you separate the beds. So separate the beds, what does it mean? So it means that you must remember you withhold the conjugal rights. And the third one will be wadribuhun. So that is what you are speaking about. Wadribuhun means the husband, as a third step, when the wife is not listening, stubborn, obstinate, he will take the miswak or a ruler and tap her lightly on the hand. To hit her with a belt or with a hand on the face and all that absolutely haram. For any person, sheikh, to say that you must hit your wife, assault, that sheikh there does not understand Islam. And remember, he's bringing his own tradition, customs, and it's got nothing to do with part of Islam. So remember, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for those husbands that will assault and beat their wives, laysa bikhiyarikum, they are not good people. They are immoral people. And remember that in Islam, we must stay away from these type of things. And to say Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, that the master alayhi salatu salam hit his honorable wives, all these are bare fabrications and lies. We need to be very, very careful. We must defend the honor of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam against fabrications, propaganda. And sometimes the Muslims also get carried away with all these things here. So that is what Islam teaches us. So we must remember, if a person, you, and today's world, if you go to these people who do therapy and all that, they themselves sometimes will advocate and teach this. They tell you shock therapy and whatever you. So remember, Islam is speaking of that as the third option and not as the first or second option. And there will be no mark, no scars, nothing. Just with a miswak or the stick, or the stick, meaning a miswak stick, and not some big stick or something. And remember that a ruler, and slightly you just tap her. So that is what is meant here by this verse.
Ustad, let us go to, it's a Broncos Prate. There's a brother here, says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sab. Mufti Sab, you know us quite well, very well. We just want to know from Mufti Sab quickly, the family is listening. Can parents of a girl refuse a proposal from a good Muslim on the basis that the man is not of the same race or caste? And Mufti Sab, what happens if his akida is also not right? Ustad, from Broncos Prate.
This is a two-part question. If the person's aqidah is not right, he's a Shia or Qadiani or Aga Khani, then you must refuse, obviously, because they're not even Muslim. So we need to be clear on that. We are speaking about marriage with the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The boy belongs to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The girl belongs to that. So that is the first part. If the aqidah is incorrect, or the aqidah is such like the Shias and Qadiani, Adyanis and Ahmadis, then remember, it's not permissible that you get them married to such people. Second one is this, the second scenario, that the Aqidah is right, everything is right, but they say that the person is not the same Jat. You understand the word Jat here, Maulana? Mm-hmm. It means the same caste, they don't speak the same language. Mm. One party is Surti, one party is Memon, one party is Urdu, one party is Malay, like that. So these type of things, that alone on its own is not a valid excuse. Remember that you are depriving your daughter of her happiness also. She is happy, he is happy, both sides, the families are happy. But you are saying that no, the language different. Today 90%, 80% of our children, grandchildren cannot even speak. You must remember that the other day I told a person Dungri. So the Dungri is onions in Memon, you know. So she wrote me, my connection, you understood. So she wrote there, she was saying, oh, I learned a new word, and instead of writing Dungri, she wrote a Dungri, you understood. So I said, this is your people's halat, you know, people's condition. You don't even know whether you're coming or going. So remember to hold on to this, like the Hindus have a caste system in Islam that is condemned, remember that.
Ustad, we go to Sister Natasha. She says that, Teacher Mufti, hope you well, how you doing? Sorry to hear about the person that passed away in the family. Sister Natasha wants to know, she says that she listens to the program, but she never expected she's going to send a message on the bliss of marriage, and this is for her sister. She says, could you please define for me mental, verbal, emotional, and physical abuse? This is on behalf of my sister. She's going through that. So Sister Natasha is asking you, Ustad, define mental, verbal, emotional, and physical abuse, all the way from Lakefield.
Okay, thanks a lot for the message, Sister Natasha, and we highly appreciate your queries, questions. Never ever feel that you are causing us a problem or anything of that sort. We welcome all types, variety of questions from all the listeners, Muslim or non-Muslim. Okay, excellent question. We know that all this happens across the spectrum, Muslim, non-Muslim families. So verbal will be with the tongue. The husband is giving a tongue lashing, losing his temper now and then and so forth. And so all that also is unacceptable. Quran Kareem states, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. That you must speak the truth. And Quran says, Wa qulu linnasi husna. You need to speak to people in a beautiful manner. So especially a husband, wife. This is not a dictatorship, it is a partnership. And many of the Muslim husbands also misconstrue. They think that they are the Amir. So Amir means they are the dictator, that's wrong. You're not the Amir, you're the Amir. So Amir means you have added responsibilities. That is the meaning of Amir and leadership in Islam. Not you sit on your laurels and think of Hadi and dictate everything. So that is unacceptable. Number one, two, physical abuse will be where the hands are used, the belt is used and so forth. So Allah forbid, God forbid. So these type of things are totally haram, unlawful, not permissible in Islam. Third one will be emotional one. So remember that emotional will be that when you want something from her, then you want to be good to her. For example, a husband, wife to fulfill his conjugal rights. So for that day, that weekend, so now he'll be good with her and so forth. And then when one, two things trigger go other way, so now he plays on emotions. I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I won't give you your money. I won't give you your holiday. I won't take you here. So now you play on her emotions, and this is a very old game the husbands play. They are guilty of having an affair or shirking their responsibilities, but they will play. Now you come to the next one, the mental abuse, and they will then make so much propaganda, and the wife will start thinking that she is not the solution, but she is rather the problem. That is the blame game. Husband is guilty, but he makes the wife feel that she is guilty. So that is an old trick of most husbands today. So that is how Islam will tell you the various and different types of abuse, and all of them are haram and not permissible. Islam taught us, Sister Natasha, and I'm sure you must be having a translation Quran there. So remember chapter 4, verse 19. Chapter 4, surah 4, ayat number 19, verse 19. Almighty Allah commands every husband, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and treat your wives with justice, love and equity. Look at the sacrifice she made. She left her parents, her siblings, her place of birth to spend the remainder of her life with you. What a great sacrifice. Second, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Islam, demonstrated all this verbally and practically. And that is why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the messenger of Islam, said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِيكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِي. This is authentic hadith and saying of the Master alayhi salam, the best of you are the best of you to your wives, to your children, to your husbands, and remember, I am the best to my wives and my children. So that is a great lesson. One more dimension I want to add for you, Sister Natasha. You see, when we solemnize the marriage, what we call nikah, so Mona Arafat is the presiding officer, so the male will be there, the lady's representative will be there, and in that way, he will be reading certain verses of the Noble Quran. Before the proposal acceptance takes place and so forth, so those verses, Sister Natasha and listeners that are read, all have to do with taqwa, which means that both parties need to uphold Allah consciousness, God consciousness, and we need to know there is a supreme being. And remember, Allah Jalla Wala is all aware of all our deeds and speech and actions. So we might escape from people, but we will never escape from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So therefore, we need to be clear on this issue. That is the glue to keep the family structures intact, and that is the love and respect for Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. That is missing in 90% of the marriages today, and therefore they head for disaster. Allah protect us.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. Sister Natasha says that's her younger sister. The three sisters altogether, teacher Mufti, and may God take this husband of hers to task. This is Sister Natasha. Ustad, did you define the word mental?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Jazakumullah. Sister Natasha from Lakefield, Ustad. Let's continue, inshallah. Yes, 25 minutes after 11, you are listening and tuning to The Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, somebody is asking that what should we do if the feast is full of haram? This is anonymous sister from Germiston. What should we do if the feast is full of haram, Ustad?
Remember, by the feast, they mean that the day the couple gets married, then the meal they will be serving, or the walima. Today they got married, tomorrow they have walima, and that is the marital feast now, the banquet, whatever you want to call, and that is now to announce to people, we are married, we spend the night together, and so forth. So we call it walima, a joyous, happy occasion. But if it is from haram income, that person there is selling drugs or wine or swine, or that person there is involved, you must remember, in really crooked deals and so forth. There's so much bribery, corruption, all that going on. So we as the Muslims should not attend such functions. I myself, 80%, 90%, we don't go because of so much haram and unlawful activities. They'll have the male and the female intermingling. The women, most of them are dressed in such a manner that leaves a lot to be desired. Third one, they will have music, sometime dancing, sometime. So all these are concerns considered as un-Islamic activities. So therefore, why should we go? Yes, we will send a present or give a gift and tell them we're making dua, and we will pray to Almighty Allah that Allah Ta'ala keeps you happy. But personally, we cannot be present. That people use the term nikah. People use the term walima, which are sunnah. But remember, sunnah means the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. But what actually goes on there, the reality there, is something definitely against the sharia, against the Islamic law, and against the sunnah, the teaching of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ustad, let us go to the next question. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that what's the latest happening in Aqsa, Ustad?
Yesterday was a very, very sad day for us, the Ummah and Muslimah. There was no Maghrib Salat Adhan at Masjid al-Aqsa because of the apartheid terrorist regime of Israel. And we must remember this is their aim, to frustrate the Palestinians that they must leave. And yesterday or the other day, you must remember the media is carrying it today, various media, that Netanyahu said that Jewish Israel is democracy. I'm just paraphrasing it, that for the Jews only. So how can you make a statement that you are the only democracy in the Middle East? I told you this in the past 5-10 years. When the apartheid regime of Israel speaks of democracy, yes, for Jews it might be, but for the Palestinian Muslims, for the Palestinian Christians, they are treated second class, third class. Like how when the white man ruled here in South Africa, we were treated as second class and third class citizens. So that's exactly what Israel, the apartheid regime, is doing. They can kill who they want to, they can detain who they want to, they can close Masjid al-Aqsa, our first Qibla. It's a disgrace and a shame for the Arab regimes and the Muslim countries. Where are all of them today? They should be big protests. Those countries that have ties with Israel should be cutting off ties. But remember, everybody is worried about their own kursi and power and so forth. So therefore you find the Muslims today have become so weak, and this is the humiliation and disgrace. But Almighty Allah will always keep a group of people who will keep the struggle. And therefore I told you that you must read this book. And just now one of the ulama or somebody asked me, we typed it and sent it to them on my email, and that is the book's name, Haqa'iqul Qur'aniya Hawla Qadiyatil Falastiniya. You must remember, they think as long as they have American support and veto, they can do what they want to. Remember, that is an illusion. Very soon things will change. How the apartheid regime thought, never will their decline come. And all these dictators and apartheid forces, they think like that. The small pharaohs we have in the countries, Muslim countries, Arab countries also. So remember, that's surely that Allah Ta'ala does not allow batil to flourish all the time. It will flourish for a short period. Inna al-batila kana zahuqa. Verily the batil, the falsehood, must perish. And that is the system of Almighty Allah. No one can change that. فَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. So the system of Almighty Allah will not change. So may Almighty Allah destroy the enemies. May Almighty Allah protect the Haramain. Remember, we have two fears. One is the Haramain Sharifain must always remain in the hands of the Ahlu Sunnah and must never ever go in the hands of the Shia, la'anahumullah. And second one, that Masjid al-Aqsa and the whole of Palestine must remain in the hands of Muslims, and the Zionist entity has to be dismantled. So that is the time there will be true peace. So that is what this Ummah needs to do, and especially the Muslim Arab governments.
29 minutes to 12. If you want to hear the latest update of Al-Aqsa since the masjid is open again, you know exactly what to do. The 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali. He will be giving you, inshallah, the latest update. Ustad, there's a brother who wants to know that since you are touching on Aqsa, he says, can we go there and maybe take somebody and get married from there since there's so much turmoil happening there, Ustad, in Aqsa? Is it permissible?
Brother, you should say, let me go there and help the people. Don't look at your own maqsad and your own desires. You should say that I want to take millions of dollars or rands, or I want to take money and so forth to go and help the people. Not you want to just go and fulfill your own lust and desires. That is a very low form of thinking. Remember that. So there are thousands of yatama and orphans, thousands of people languishing in jail, and you want to speak about getting married to one and bring her here. So that is not our Muslim things, brother.
Subhanallah. Ustad, somebody is asking here, Mufti Saab, this is from Azad. Well, are you allowed to see the man who proposes to you, Ustad, Islamically?
When the man is going to see you, then you see him, obviously. He's not going to see you through some, you know, other room or something from there. You will be sitting in one room, and you will be with your mahram, your father or your brother or your niece or your nephew rather, or somebody. And in that way there, he will be there. So you see him, he see you one time, not every second day, weekday, weekend. He say, no, I want to come check properly. I want to talk. I want to do. All that is haram and not permissible.
Ustad, we go to Australia. The muallima wants to know that this hadith, Ustad, she wants to know in which kitab is it? A virgin came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned that her father had married her against her will. So Nabi sallallahu allowed her to exercise her choice. Ustad, is it in Bukhari or is it?
The hadith is authentic as mentioned in Sunan Nasai, but you didn't quote the whole thing. What happened was that the father, Tazawwajaha, he got married, Wayakariha, and she disliked it. She's Aqila, Baligha, sane and mature, and she was a lady that you know who understood Deen and Islam. So her father got married to a certain person, but she disliked it. She went to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, this is what my father did, so against my will. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fine, if you want, then we will dissolve it, meaning we annul it, is not valid and so forth. So she said, no, I want to show the women that they have rights regarding their own marriage and so forth, but I will still remain married to that person because my father did it. Look at how beautifully she solved the problem. She showed the Muslim women that what rights they have. Even your father cannot impose upon you once you are sane and mature. But remember, she still continued because she wanted the blessings of her parents and her father and them.
Ustad, someone is asking, alright, okay, Ustad, say the, let us go, inshallah, for an ad break. There's a very interesting question here, inshallah, that just came up. This is also from overseas. Nevertheless, it's 26 minutes to 12. When we come back, of course, listeners of Sirius FM and listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Then you must visit Capital Deco on 162 Brickfield Road, Overport. You'll be surprised at our super low prices. Bathroom, bedroom and dining room. Come see our deco range. Call us on 031-207-4946.
Avondale Musalla, corner of Avondale and Argyle Road. Musalla open for 5 daily salah as well as Jummah salah.
So she comes there with her husband, and I can really read the pulse because I'm as a doctor, man. I can read the heartbeat. This heartbeat is not going like this. The heartbeat's supposed to go. The heart cut. So I can fall. Because my heart, you can feel. When someone comes to me, I can really feel. There's something not right here. And so the lady don't want to talk. She's got tissues. And the guy, I said, my bro, could you talk here? Nice telling me, look here, cheated. And this is not the first time. I'm a good listener. I'm hearing to him. So I said, my bra, Mufti Eke always say, no wife, no life. The home ain't no home when you're alone, my bro. Yeah, it's not lekker. You men are spoiled by choice. Even you should buy, say, Marcus, double decker, my bro. You're a fool. Kijk, lekker achter. You're a peri-peri service. Say, alhamdulillah, for you're a fool. Say, alhamdulillah. Tonight you're gonna go home and say, Mera Bibi, this morning I bite me as guest also. Nankatai, Harunche Bai, Dichai, Acha, Blacha, Jalab Jambos, the whole works.
Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Capital Air, KZN's leading brand in air conditioning, voted number one by the Daily News Reader's Choice for quality, service and price. Call 031-209-4415 or visit our showrooms Capital Air, Capital Decor and Cater Coop.
گھر سے ڈولا چلا لاڈلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا گھر سے ڈولا چلا لاڈلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا کتنے نازوں سے پالا تھا ہم نے ہر طرح سے سنبھالا تھا ہم نے ہائے ہم سے جدا ہو رہی ہے ہائے ہم سے جدا ہو رہی ہے گھر کی یادوں میں وہ کھو رہی ہے آج بابل کا رونا نہ پوچھو اور ماں کا تڑپنا نہ پوچھو آج بابل کا رونا نہ پوچھو اور ماں کا تڑپنا نہ پوچھو گھر سے ڈولا چلا لادلی
23 minutes to 12. You are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage, Part 2. I see Roshni says, Mufti Sahab, please, we want the podcast of this program of The Bliss of Marriage, Part 2, regarding that question of, did they ask, I think, Mufti Sahab, yes. Ustad, let us go to Zambia. Someone is asking you, can a man ask for a girl who is already engaged to another man? But Mufti Sahab, the girl told me to come and propose to her. She's not happy with the first man. Now, Ustad, what do we do in this case?
Okay, regarding the podcast, inshallah, it will be ready of The Bliss of Marriage. And inshallah, by the afternoon, it will be on the website. So, inshallah, it will be on both websites. Inshallah, on www.markazsahaba.com and on my website, www.muftiakhosen.net. So inshallah, by this afternoon, it will be on both websites, inshallah. It will be on both websites, inshallah, by this afternoon. Second one is that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us ethics. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us what is akhlaq and character. When Mona Arafat and myself, we already promised one another, I will give my son to his daughter, or his son will get married to my daughter, and in that way there we agreed. Then you come as a third party, and you want to poke your nose there, لا يَخْتُبُ عَلَىٰ خِطْبَةِ أَخِي, then you cannot do so, it is morally, ethically wrong. If the girl or her family told you to do so, then you must tell them that they must break and cancel that first engagement and say no to that person. When all that is done and dusted, then you come. Not whilst that engagement is subsisting and carrying on, that is immoral and un-Islamic to do. So don't be a Charlie Chaplin to poke your nose in other people's business.
Ustada, Sister Abigail, should women give dowry to men in Islam, Ustad?
In Islam, we call it the marital gift. Dowry is more a Christian term, and we don't believe in that. Remember that in Islam, the husband gives the marital gift, the mahar, what you call dowry. And in Islam, we don't have any labola system. We don't have any system that a woman have to give something. Yes, it is a happy occasion. So sometimes what happens is the girl or her family, they bring gifts for the son-in-law. She brings gifts for her husband-to-be. Or you must remember for the mother-in-law, father-in-law. So that is just out of their generous gesture and goodness of their heart. But it is not something that Islam says is compulsory. But the payment in cash or kind to the wife, that is compulsory. Therefore, in Islam, till the husband does not hand it over to her, the jewelry or the clothing or the money, whatever they agreed on, till then the wife can say, Mamnu ud dukhul, then that means no pay, no play. He cannot consummate the marriage. So that is a right Islamically.
Ustaz, let us go to Leicester. Brother Muhammad, he wants to know that his daughter, she's in the college. She's 20 years old. So he wants to know, Ustaz, what type of relationship should your children have with non-Muslim classmates or friends? She's in the college. What must she do, Ustaz?
First and foremost, we need to divide this question into two separate parts. Number one is this, for Muslims, when we are living in these type of countries, South Africa, UK, and the West, and wherever, so we must remember where we know all the co-ed goes on and so forth. There's hardly any separate facilities or anything of that sort. So for the boy to go to the school, the college or university and so forth, that will be permissible. But for the female to go there, whether it is to study A, B, C, X, Y, Z, is not even permissible. So that's the first issue. For a female to go to college, to go to university, all that, in the current climate, definitely is not permissible. Yes, we are not against her studying. She can study, so she can study via correspondence. But today, when they are losing their virginity, they are losing their haya and shame and modesty, sometimes they lose their iman and Islam totally, and all this are not just a pie in the sky. We know, and if you ask the girls and the boys what's happening today in university, they themselves will come and tell you. Just the other day, a person came to me and told me the same thing. He said, go just look at the university and see the amount of Muslim boys and girls drinking alcohol, busy with drugs and what have you. They haven't come to study, some of them. They just came to have a big jol, a big party there, because their parents are rich or they managed to secure some scholarship or bursary. So it is just one big wild party going on. Obviously, we don't paint everybody with the same brush, but we will say a good amount are involved in these vices. So for females, whether it's university, college, is not even permissible. Secondly, you must remember, for the boys who are there in Islam, what you have to do is always learn to influence people rather than getting influenced by them. So that is what we need to do. لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. That Islam must prevail over them. Not you get attracted to their system and start compromising, apologizing. Therefore, to have interfaith meetings are haram in Islam. Interfaith today, as it is held, means all the religions are on par, whether it is Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. So that in itself, remember, is absolutely haram. So we believe that only Islam is the truth and path of salvation, and any other ism will be a path of failure and disaster. So that is how we have to influence the lives of people. You can see that we are on these stations. So how many non-Muslims, because when we speak to them and address their inner conscience, they realize that what you are speaking is the truth. That's a different issue whether they embrace Islam or not, because sometimes there's peer pressure, sometimes there's pressure from some other family members. But the aim is that at least we're educating and stimulating their thought process, so they're realizing that Islam is the way for world peace. You can see the terrorist apartheid regime in Israel, what is doing. You can see what the Americans are doing in Guantanamo Bay. You can see what other countries are doing. Just because people are Muslim, so there the law is the other way around. Guilty until found innocent. For everybody else is innocent until found guilty. But for the Muslim, they turn it the other way around. So that is the double standard you see in many countries today in the world.
Ustaz, what banker, it says here, so bar, how do I go about asking that question without insulting her? Assuming that she is innocent and hasn't been involved in any immoral activity, is it okay to ask a personal question such as, are you a virgin, according to Islam? Bar.
You don't have to ask nothing. You must remember this, that you must go and do your homework. That you interested in such a girl, she will tell you, she wants to ask you, are you a virgin? So you must, one thing can lead to another. So you will be compromised in many situations because most boys are not virgin today. So which is haram obviously and not permissible. So you must do your homework and see that is this lady really a pure chaste lady when you investigate. So you will know is she really reading her salat and prayers or does she have loose morals? Which type of friends does she have? And it's so easy, you just contact the people in the town, the ulama in the town and so forth. And they will give you reference. You still got doubt, make istikhara. Allahumma khirli wa khatarli. The hadith in Tirmidhi, oh Almighty Allah, you select the best for me and you choose for me. So we must remember, you must never enter a marriage relationship with a negative frame of mind. That is one thing that I will always emphasize for boys and girls, male and female. Never enter into this partnership of matrimony and nikah with a negative frame of mind, because that will be a slippery slope that you are choosing, and the marriage will just deteriorate. Enter with a positive frame of mind, and then the help of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will descend as well.
13 minutes to 12, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage, part 2. Yes, sir, my beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Sirius FM and Merkaz Sahaba. Mufti Sahab, teacher, Mufti, this is Sister Natasha again. She's asking, Ustad, of course, she says this question is not regarding on the bliss of marriage. But she says she heard you now speaking about Masjid Aqsa. And she says her husband, who is an attorney, he reads a lot. So we actually baffled. Why are we, your Muslims, killing one another? So maybe Ustad, she doesn't know if Ustad could explain to her what's happening in Aqsa. She says, we baffled, why is a Muslim killing another Muslim in Aqsa, Ustad?
It's not Muslim killing another Muslim. The Israeli forces dress themselves up as Palestinians. They come as undercover agents. And this is an old tactic of the Israelis. So the world media will think that it is Palestinians fighting against Palestine. So you must remember, sisters, that every Palestinian who's a true Muslim is against the occupation. Every Christian who is in Palestine and other parts of the world is against the occupation. You must remember, in 48 they stole the land from the Palestinians, and now they are still stealing the land, and now they want to steal our third holiest place. And they don't make it a secret. I've been there 5 times, sister. So to Palestine, we call it occupied Palestine. So they want to demolish the back portion of Masjid al-Aqsa, the Golden Dome, and replace it with Haikal-e Suleimani, the Temple of Solomon. And if you think I'm just speaking from my thumb, sister, just go to Hebron. I give you the incident, sister. It is in Ramadan, our fasting month, and it was in 1994. Baruch Goldstein, the Jew, the Zionist, the terrorist came. He murdered people in the early part of the morning in Hebron. And while they were praying, 29 people died immediately. About 70 of them, well, they succumbed to their injuries and then they passed away. What did the apartheid regime do? They built a big shrine for him, Baruch Goldstein. And not only that, they stole our mosque, our masjid, and partitioned it there in Hebron. This is Israeli-style justice, sister. Yeah. Ask your husband that he must read all about these things here. Anything you want to know of Palestine or any country, we'll tell you, inshallah.
Sister Natasha says, thank you so much. She says, it's shocking to listen what you are telling her, the information, Ustad. I think she also wants a podcast of The Bliss of Marriage, Part 2. Ustad, let us go to Sydney. What is the best method of raising children? Mufti Sahab, this is from Sydney, sister.
The best way to raise children is Surah 66, verse 6. What is Almighty Allah's message? Today, when we buy a car or a computer or a cell phone, in the olden days, they used to give us a book or a manual. Nowadays, they give you a CD. Nowadays, they'll give you that some gadget, USB or whatever, and all they'll tell you, yes, everything here. So you must remember, nobody questions it. See, now the planes already, they got big problem. They're saying that these planes we're not allowing in our airport. Why? It seems Allah alone knows. But it is said in the media that there might be something wrong with some planes mechanically, so they don't want it to even land there in the airports. You can just read the news of yesterday and today. So remember that people buy the product based on what the reputation, and then they have that CD or USB or whatever you want to call it. So Quran Sharif is the kalam of Almighty Allah, the direct speech. Allah created us. Save yourself and your family, your children from the fire. Surah chapter 66 verse 6. So that's number one. Then number two, you should remember that are we good examples? Today we are sanctimonious. We have a double identity. We tell our children don't smoke, but we smoking in front of them and everywhere. Today we tell our children don't watch porn, but the parents are watching porn. Today we tell our children don't take drugs, but you will see when it is bachelor's night, boys' night, or Saturday night, all hell breaks loose. So you say, let me also experiment and try. Go see the rehabs today, how many Muslims are there? So that is the big problem, that we want and aspire for our children something else. But we are not helping them along. We are sending mixed signals to them. And the best way, my mother couldn't read and write. If you put a newspaper, she couldn't read. She couldn't write English or anything. But remember, she instilled within us the love for Islam. She led by example. 5 times salat, she would read 8 times salat. So the point I'm making, you must remember, is this, that you, O father, mother, you have to lead by example. Then you will see the children will say, yes, I like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. So that is what we need to do. And the truth has to be said, majority of the parents in the world are failing and shirking their duties and responsibilities.
8 minutes to 12, Ustad, we go to Mayfair West. This is an anonymous sister. She really needs your help. She says, Mufti Saab, for the past 2.5 years, my husband is keeping on telling me that he wants to take a second wife. So he came with a letter, and he says that the sheikh gave him the letter, and he says that in which situations is polygamy allowed? The husband is allowed to take another wife when the wife is suffering from a serious disease, etc. I just want to read this here. When she has a bad character which cannot be reformed, when there is a war and there are many widows. This is what my husband came with this letter. Ustad, what must I do?
Tell him the biggest message, greatest message came from Allah, not from the sheikh.
Allah,
the sheikh wants to collect more money from your husband. Today more and more sheikhs don't look at the murid, they look at the pocket of the murid. So you must remember the murid will say, take 100,000, then write one letter. So which sheikh is going to refuse? So very few, you must remember that. So that is what's happening today. So take that letter, tear it up and tell him it must go to the dustbin. Tell him this is what Quran Kareem teaches us. Surah 4 verse number 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. When you cannot do justice, then you stick to one wife only. And he himself knows he can't do justice in most cases. So therefore tell him hold his goal and tell him fine, if he wants to take the second wife, he must go ahead, but then you will only do what is compulsory upon you, and all the perks and extras you do for his parents or his brothers and thus, all that is not necessary, not compulsory upon you.
Ustad, what type of relationship do you want your spouse to have with your friends? My husband says I must stop being like an old school of thought. Ustad?
Remember, there's no old school of thought. Today, the Western world tells you, you must be broad-minded. So they're so broad-minded. So the wife ran away with the husband's best friend. So tell him that is what they're teaching. So does he want that? You must tell him, Quran is for all times, all places. So if he wants his friends to come, and he wants, you must be the beauty queen there, you must serve them, you must come there and parade yourself, and you must be not properly clad, and so tell him all this is haram and unlawful as mentioned in the Quran, Surah 24 verse 31, and you're not prepared to do that. If he wanted some queen like that, then he must go look in the street and bring for a woman like that. So that is al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, the impure man for the impure woman. You are a tayyiba, you are pure and chaste, and you are not prepared to change that. that. So go show him Surah 24 and verses 26, from verses 25, 26 and so forth. So you must teach him what is Islam and not what he's getting now. He's going towards the Hizb al-Shaytan. He's joining the Shaytan's party.
I see my Rabbi says Allah Ta'ala give barakah in your boat program, Mufti Saab and Mulana Arafat. Thoroughly enjoy all your programs on Merkaz Sahaba, Ma Rabia Ustad.
MashaAllah, make dua for us. We need all the duas, Ma, from the mamas and the papas.
Mamas and the papas. Ustad, how do I go about asking the question? No, this is what. He says, I'm a Muslim. I'm planning to get married to a Muslim woman, inshallah. I know that she had a boyfriend in the past, but the relationship didn't last. What do I do, Ustad?
How many girlfriends you had? What you say, brother? Must remember that you need to, before we shoot the arrow to them, we need to ask ourselves, if you are really pure and chaste, then Allah will give you someone pure and chaste. But we also had a technical lifestyle, you know. Now they're busy with this girlfriend that now we reform little bit. Now we're looking for the proper paragon of piety, a true virgin, untouched. Lam yat mishunna insun qablahum wala jan. No human being touched her, no jinn touched her, and so forth. But look at your own life sometimes, my brother. So if you want to marry her, then don't bring up her past and all that. You look at the present and look at the future and go ahead. Once you're going to dig up the past, then remember in a married situation, she will throw your past to you, you will throw her past to her, and both of you will end up in court, or both of you will get divorced, and that will be a big disaster.
Ustad, how do you express your feelings to someone who has done you a favor for you at work, a strange man, Ustad?
Remember who's asking the question. If it's a female, so you must remember, so Islam will tell you the best thing you do is resign and go sit at home. Because remember, today is a favor. Tomorrow will be another favor. And the heart will be melting. And then they say exchange of cell phone. Then it will be let's go for tea. Then let's go and meet in some nice secluded spot. You see? And then one thing leads to another. You can ask President Trump that what he was doing. You can ask President Clinton what he was doing in the White House. So all these things, satanic activities going on. So you must remember, Islam cuts it off. Say, nips it in the bud. So if somebody did you a favor, it was the same gender, so you repay them the favor, he gave you a nice gift or whatever, you give them a gift. It doesn't have to be the same value and so forth. You make dua for them, you say Jazakallahu khaira, you say thank you very much. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the hadith in Tirmidhi, if you just say Jazakallahu khaira, Allah ta'ala reward you abundantly, so faqad ablagha thana, you have praised that person abundantly. But once it crosses the gender line, then remember there's ulterior motives involved.
Ustad, we've got about a minute exactly left. I see Sister Natasha says that they want to contribute something, it's really something small, to Merkaz Sahaba. So Sister Natasha, what I would advise you to do is call our receptionist, Sheikh Imran, 010-00-11-00. What's the last digit, Ustad?
Four.
Yes, that's our receptionist number, inshallah. Maybe you could give a call, inshallah, Ustad.
Okay, sister, what you do, just send me an email, akhusen, akhousen @gmail.com, and we will furnish you with all the details, and whatever you want to deposit, ahlan wa sahlan, we say welcome, and mashallah, you keep on listening. And before our fasting month, we want you to be fasting, sister.
Allahu Akbar, ameen, inshallah. Ameen, ameen, summa ameen. We're going to leave you and love you from myself, Lamatul Fadila, to Shaykh Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. Hafizahullah. It is time for us to say tata. We see you next week, Tuesday, inshallah, on the bliss of marriage. Up next is my beloved Haji Yusuf Ali. I see he's actually dressing quite warm. It's not winter as yet. He's full of smiles. Nevertheless, in touch, in tune, and independent with Haji Yusuf Ali.